We know you have a lot of sucky broadcasts to choose from. So thank you for listening to this sucky broadcast. And now, here's Bradley Laborman.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Happy June 28th, 2023. It is this sucky broadcast. I almost said that sucky broadcast. This sucky broadcast. A show that loves you very much and is made possible by such amazing people as the Brass Tap. The Brass Tap offers over 150 craft beers from around the globe in an upscale neighborhood bar atmosphere. They carry almost every craft beer from almost every of the Texas breweries, from Rollertown to Tupps to Pentacola's Brewing. And you can always count on them to deliver craft beers you're looking for. And this music is playing in the background, and it's driving me crazy because I thought I turned it off. So let me hit it. There we go. Man, that music just drives me crazy when I'm trying to do this. But yeah, Brass Tap. Here we go. They also carry craft beers from other states and even craft beers brewed by monks overseas. And they host weekly pint nights, music bingo every Wednesday at 7 p.m., family feud or themed trivia every Thursday at 7 p.m., and a new live local artist every Saturday night. And they also have one of the longest running happy hours in all of the DFW areas with select $5 drafts, discounted shots, $6 wine, $7 specials, drinks of the week. Along with food specials under $10. You know, I've read this a million times, and you would think I'd have this right by now. You can also enjoy every major sporting event on one of their many TVs and large screens. Covered patios, which are pet-friendly, which are dog-friendly, and also special events, which are always listed on their Facebook page, such as car shows, bike nights, and events that benefit local charity groups. They have three locations. In Allen, Prosper, and their brand new location in Frisco, which also features old world pizza made to order. You can only get that pizza at their Frisco location, and guests are raving about it. Any guest who mentions this sucky broadcast can choose a free appetizer of their choice. Just mention this broadcast and pick the one you want, and it's on the house. Brass Tap, North DFW. I'm Bradley Laborman. We're going to start the show. My guest today is standing up right now on camera, off camera, and he's trying to get me to turn on the camera with this logo on that is from a movie that's coming out at some point. But he doesn't have to promote the movie. It's okay. It's okay, dude. There we go. I don't want you to hurt your back standing up so much. Anyways, please welcome my good friend, actor, comedian, Dennis Hurley to the show. What's up, Dennis?
Bradley Laborman, great to see you. Oh,
great to be seen. How are you?
I'm great. I was going to do a whole bit with my merch Victor Nordic, but I don't want to spoil the movie. So maybe it's best that we just
I don't think you spoil the movie with the logo. I think that's because the logo is on the IMDb page. So
that's right.
Yeah. So
you know me, I like to play by the rules. I liked authorization and all that.
I like that. I had to get my Brass Tap sponsor out of the way and not out of the way. Brass Tap is a great sponsor. I didn't mean it out of the way. They're like, goodbye, see ya. We're not sponsoring anymore. Because you just said out of the way. Dennis, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's good to see you. It's been a while. You've been traveling a lot, and I've been traveling somewhat. And We've been friends since 2015, I think, right?
We met, and you had just left Let's Make a Deal.
Oh.
And you were just like Doc Brown.
Yep.
You had just left Let's Make a Deal. And yeah.
You have a good memory. Yeah.
I have a really good memory.
That's excellent. Yes. That was and I won. I won some money. Yeah. And Wayne Brady liked my Dr. Emmett Brown impression. So
I think did we each successfully, because I was on Let's Make a Deal. And yep. Did we each successfully make Wayne Brady laugh.
Yes, we did.
That's fantastic. That's really good.
Yeah, it's a good moment when you know he's taken aback as he did with you, and I think with me he was like, oh wait, this guy has talent. Wow, because you know there's it's always a mixed bag of who's going to be in the audience there.
Wait. With me he was like, oh, this guy is kind of offensive, and with you he was like, oh, this guy's got talent. Is that how it was?
No, I thought it was both. They both got talent.
Oh, okay. When you said it, I thought.
Did you say something offensive?
No. When you said it, I go, wait, are you saying that you had talent and I didn't have talent? Like, when you said, like, listen to the show later and you'll, okay. When you said it was very funny how you worded it. Okay. I was like, wait, what are you talking about, man? I was, well, come on, Dennis.
I'm already the worst guest you've ever had, aren't I?
Well, no.
This is my first.
on the new season, probably. I would say. Yeah. I mean, Brody's barking in the other room and I moved the studio around. My studio was in the living room. And then I put Brody in my bedroom, my dog in my bedroom.
Gotcha.
And then I decided to move to my bedroom because I was like, I don't want my computer stuff out in the living room or whatever. So I moved my studio to the bedroom because it's a little bit quieter. But now Brody's out there just barking at anything that comes up. And I think I know what it was. It's but we'll get to that. Let's talk about you first and we'll talk about everything else in the world.
No, I just want to talk about dogs. That's all.
Is that all you want to talk about? No, I want to talk about you. You have some projects coming up. What can you talk about? What can't you talk about? Let's go.
Yes. Well, I'm in a motion picture that's in post-production, starring an overweight comedian who finds a drink.
Yes. Okay, that's me. Okay, that's this. When I thought you were talking about a real motion. No, I'm just kidding. We are a real motion picture. I'm hard on myself.
Hey,
because the movie is taken. I want everybody to know who is listening to this. And Dennis is one of the stars of the movie. Is that the movie's taking a long time to get out. So
it is. It's a real motion picture. Because of the fact that you don't like Fritos, and I think Fritos are the best crafty snack in the world, I had extra Fritos in that shoot. So I call it a win-win.
How did you have extra Fritos on that shoot?
Because you didn't eat any. Yes, they were just there was just extra bags.
Because somebody brought them in because I don't allow Fritos on my set because I don't allow Fritos in my life. I don't like the smell of Fritos. I don't like this, which is weird because I think it stems from when I was younger. We would take a van to church Bible vacation Bible school. Mm-hmm. And I would get corn nuts all the time. And then some girl said my breast stunk. And then it psychologically scarred me that I don't like the smell of corn nuts or Fritos, which are essentially the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
corn nuts are just Fritos. Corn nuts. Fritos are just corn nuts that have been stretched out and curled. Same thing.
Delicious. Yes. That's Bradman the movie. Come on. It's coming.
Bradmanthemovie.com. You can check out all the information at Bradmanthemovie.com.
Yeah.
I've been hard on myself because it's been a long time in post-production and I'm hard on myself on it. But once it comes out, I will be greatly happy and everything. And it had a really good premiere and all good stuff. So
yeah. Filmed entirely in Chicago.
Yes.
I believe. Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. I had a fun time. I had never really been to Chicago. I had passed through it, but with your film, I was able to experience Chicago. And
I taught Dennis about seltzer. Trulies.
Also delicious.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Truly is truly a good cider.
I was
not a
sponsor, but it was very weird to me that you'd never had it before. Mm-hmm. And then I gave you some and then you were like, oh, this is the best thing ever. And then every time I have talked to you since then, once in a while, you've like shown me a picture of it or taken a picture of it. I'm drinking Truly. Look.
And then I gained superpowers. So it was like life imitates art. It was great. What am I doing? I did a few movies over the past couple years. Let's see. We've got this fall coming out. I did a film in Los Angeles that's essentially a mockumentary in the style of Albert Brooks, like real life. It's like that meets Hi Mom, the Brian De Palma mockumentary.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've seen that. It's kind of a mix of those. So it's it's called Judgment's Follies. It's coming soon. I also did a horror comedy that's coming out in the vein of Shaun of the Dead. That should be fun. And then I did most recently here in Boston. I'm talking to you from my hometown of Boston. Since the lockdown, I've been pretty bi-coastal. It's been Boston or LA, Boston or LA, pretty
Listen,
much.
Listen, I don't judge. You can do whatever you want.
I don't know what that means, but it's fine. No, I did, while I was here, I just recently did a pilot that's based on a story within a true crime podcast. So I'm actually, yeah. So it's kind of cool. I got to play like a real character that was in a true story in this true crime podcast. I'm not sure if I can say the name yet, but
you had a name.
I did. So that's four movies coming out, keeping my fledgling acting career afloat.
That's great. I was in a psychic detective episode once because there was a murder in my hometown, and I played local thug.
Yeah,
I wish I would have had a name. I thought it was cool that other people had names, but it was a very,
were you like an oafish thug, or were you like a conniving smart thug, like the guy from Beverly Hills Cop?
I think I'm trying to think if I had my head shaved at the time or not, but I think I had my head shaved in a goatee, and I think I was in like a flannel cutoff shirt. Cause I was like, what would somebody in the 80s look like as a thug in my hometown? And so it was like a flannel cutoff shirt. And they asked me, it was just the cops questioning me, and you don't even like, there's
so
no
you're,
lines or anything like that.
You're basically, General Zod as a teenager after a night of drinking.
Yeah.
That's what I pictured when you said that.
Yeah. I'm all like, yo, babe, Neo before Zod.
You were Sid Vicious meets Zod.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the best. It was the best of both worlds.
I would probably pay to see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I just realized, Brad? This is the fourth or fifth collaboration we've done. Because you are a man of, like, they call Howard Stern the king of all media. I feel like you are the new king of all media. Because
I try to be.
Yeah, I met you at an open mic after Let's Make a Deal Day. And we became fast friends. And you asked me to be on your talk show. You had a talk show in 2015.
Yep.
And then you had me play Doc Brown in, was it Bradman the series? Or what?
No. We went back in time to beat up Jake Paul.
Right.
Because we went back in time. We did a sketch where we go back in time. I'm like, Doc, you need to take me back in time. And so we go back in time. And the whole purpose of you taking me back in time was to tell Logan and Jake Paul's mom to be like, no, your kids are going to grow up to be stupid. Don't let this happen. And then we come back and then she's like, I'm sorry, do you mean my son, Supreme Court Justice Logan Paul? And we're like, yes, we did it. And that was it. I don't know where that went. I don't know where know where that video ever ended up.
What I mean was that was like a singular sketch, right?
Yeah, it was a sketch.
It was a sketch. Okay, so there was a talk show, the sketch, Bradman the movie, the first Sucky podcast episode when I was joined by a couple of other artists of yours, and now this. So this is like,
yeah, we had a, there was a moment where I was, there was a Zeta moment, but then we never got around to that part in the series.
I see. Yes. Oh, I was almost in the Chunky Zeta.
You were almost in the Chunky Zeta.
Oh, I love
it. Like, I wrote a part specifically for you.
Oh.
Because it was great. Because you're great. So.
Damn.
By all means. Yeah. And then you let the ball drop on that. So.
What did I do? I didn't do anything.
No, I'm just kidding. It was me. That was me too. But you have a very impressive, yes, Yes, some might say, especially because this past weekend was VidCon, and people have said this when I've been around VidCon, that some people may say that I am yet. Yes, I am one of the pioneers of live streaming and broadcasting, which I am, which people forget quickly. But a lot of people's shows are formatted in a way that was how I used to format my stuff way back in like 2005, 2006 and 2007 when I was doing live streaming way back in the day. So when you see like live stream shows now, they're like, oh, that looks like how Bradman's show was a long, long time ago. I should always bring up a video of one of those sometime.
2006. Yeah, that was quite a year. That was like, right, the launch of YouTube.
Yeah.
It was quite a turning point, right?
That was what had happened was I was in a competition called Yahoo Talent Search, where Yahoo was trying to put videos up around the same time that YouTube started.
Right.
And
I remember that.
So Yahoo was like, if you win this contest, you will get to have your own show on Yahoo TV. And I'm like, cool, let's enter this. And at that time, this is when I was equal with, and I still think that iJustine's one of my good friends. So iJustine, I met her through that. Venetian Princess was involved with that. Ask a Ninja, who doesn't exist anymore, was during that time. Mm-hmm. I believe Taizan Day sang Chocolate Rain during that time.
Oh, who I met at the premiere of your horror movie.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was
amazing. Right. Rhett and Link started out there. Bratz and Beretta, who I don't think are together anymore. This was before the time that the Smosh Boys were even a thing. Mm-hmm. This is, I believe Shay Carl started after all this stuff. But it was just very weird, all these like people that are now like not doing social, or like who are actors or whatever now and doing other things with their life, or have like went completely out of the limelight, all started there doing YouTube videos. Good times.
Yeah, no, 2006, Brad, that was my year. That was my first movie that I made, which was called The Albino Code, which is a parody, a 12-minute parody of The Da Vinci Code. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about that is like I had a fire lit under me because I was like, okay, Da Vinci Code comes out May 10th, 2006. I want my parody to come out like a couple weeks before that. And it worked. I was interviewed on Wolf Blitzer by Ginny Mosley. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah. If you go to my website, you can see just the amount of media exposure, because what I did, I sent in a tape to Ron Howard's people because I wanted to play Silas, obviously, because I was like, oh, they're looking for an albino person. But they went with Paul Bettany, you know, because he's a name and he's in better shape than I was.
What's funny is that it was Paul Bettany. Was it Paul Bettany?
Yeah, he was the monk, the albino monk.
I did not know that.
And listen, my parody wrote itself. Okay, it was a Mel Brooksian type parody, because if you ever read the novel or seen the movie The Da Vinci Code, this albino monk, within the first few pages, they describe him as driving at night and being a sharpshooting assassin. Brad.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like,
I can't see the end of my nose. I am the most legally blind person Brad probably knows.
Does he have one of those like little magnifying glass on his scope?
That's
how does he
do it?
Okay.
And so my version was kind of like a Peter Sellers, Austin Powers kind of send up of that. And I just made it like a 12-minute thing. And yeah, it was crazy.
Did you ever think that you could get back at Paul Bettany by auditioning to be White Vision?
No, this is the crazy thing, Brad.
Okay.
It's 2023.
Yep.
I would have a better shot today, right? Because of representation.
Yeah,
because they'd be like, "Oh, we want to cast a real albino," but back then it was okay. It was still okay to,
you know, what's weird is that you could be in a movie. It could be a cartoon character albino, and you'd have a better shot of getting to be the voice of the albino,
right?
Because of representation, it's very much like, "Go do it, brother. You got it now."
Yeah, I know. If only that movie just were delayed a little bit, but no. I didn't think it was very good. I liked Ian McKellen in it, but overall, I thought it was. And I love the biggest complaint was about Tom Hanks's hair. All these women were like, his hair's long. I don't like it.
Yeah, his hair was weird in that. It was weird in that. I'm trying to think of other movies that you could do that would. What if they rebooted? Oh man, what was the name of that one movie?
Omega Man?
No. The cartoon, the comic book about the ghosts.
Casper.
Casper. What if they like rebooted that in current day?
Oh.
I'm too old. Christina Ricci. And then, do you know who Christina Ricci is?
I don't really recall. Was she in the Munsters? No. I know where you're going with this, Brad. I know where you're going, and I thought we.
I don't know where I'm going.
You know exactly where you're going. We had this discussion on set, and we actually mentioned it in the last Sucky Podcast episode.
It is a conversation that I love having with you because it makes you so uncomfortable. I love having this conversation with you. I just do. But we don't have to have the conversation about how you think that Christina Ricci in Casper is hot.
Are you trying to cancel me? Is that the whole point of this
episode? You're uncancelable.
I'm albino.
You're like, come at me, bro.
Hey, you know, there's so few of us.
You can be like, you can't find any dirt on me. I'm transparent.
Okay. 1995. Christina,
yes.
She was 15. I was 17. I had a crush on her then. That's the whole story. That's it. There's nothing weird about that. We were if we were in high school, I feel like we would have dated. Because she was like goth, and she's like, oh, she would have been like, oh, cool. You're like,
I don't think she's really goth in real life, though.
No, you're right. I guess not.
I'm sorry to shatter your hopes. Fast forward to you're a grown man, and somebody calls you Casper on the subway.
Yeah, my stand-up bit. My stand-up.
Like, oh, what's wrong with that? Because Casper got to make out with Christina Ricci
at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
And so in your mind, Brad, you're just like, well, if you're kind of talking about her romantically while you're a 41-year-old man and you're talking about a scene from 1995 where she was 15.
Yeah.
And you're actually being very protective of me, which you always have been, which I appreciate that.
No, but you know what? I've thought about it more, and actually it's funny. I just give you grief on this because I've always had that argument that Drew Barrymore and I grew up together. Like, we're the exact same age. And so, like, I can go back and be like, I had a crush on Drew Barrymore in Firestarter and this and that and Poison Ivy and all these other movies because we were the same age the whole time. But I can't go back in time and be like, oh, Alicia Silverstone is hot in The Crush. Because...
What a great poll.
But even though Alicia Silverstone and I are like I've actually communicated with her online and whatever.
Oh, hey.
And we're like the same age or not the same age, but whatever. I couldn't go back and I couldn't be like, oh, she was hot in The Crush because I was older than she was when The Crush came out.
Right. And she was like,
that's my,
I understand. It's a timing issue.
Yeah.
Who was the guy in that? That was Cary Elwes, right?
Yeah.
Fair with. So you would be the Cary Elwes in that situation? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Is that how you say his name? I've always said Cary Elwes.
No, I think it's Elwes.
Is it? I always said Cary Elwes.
Cary Elwes. Help us, internet. Help us.
Yeah, help us. Help us. I'll post a question about this later on. But well, we should know because congratulations to Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks got a Lifetime Achievement Award this weekend.
Yeah, 97 years young.
97 years young.
That's awesome.
And I'm fortunate because what's her last name? I followed somebody on I'm friends with a individual on Facebook who is close to Mel Brooks. Can you guess who that is?
She was in
Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Amy Yazbek.
Yes, Amy Yazbek.
Love it. That's the last movie I showed my nephews. I have Dennis's movie nights, and I show them.
And how come that isn't a musical yet, do you wonder?
Ooh, yeah. Exactly, because they already have a song in there. right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Roger Reese is hilarious in that movie.
Who's Roger Reese in that? Is he
he's the sheriff of Rottingham.
Right, right. He is Tracy Ullman is good in that. They're all really good in that.
Oh yeah.
They're
Richard
all
Lewis. It's a good change. It's a good change. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all I like when Dick Van Patten is actually, I believe that's Brad Grunberg. I believe that's Brad Grunberg that says, "Hey, Abbott."
Oh yeah. And then I hate that guy.
Just dumb jokes like that. That's why I like Mel Brooks so much. But speaking of movies,
yes,
I gotta switch gears here real quick. I gotta talk about my personal life.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, this past week, I helped Jason is involved with the Brass Tap. Brass Tap is one of my sponsors. And this past weekend, I helped him and his lovely, well, now wife, get married.
Hey.
See right here? They got married. They got married at the Old 75 Beer Garden, which is in Richardson, Texas. It's a lovely place. I love it very much. It's a beautiful facility. I love it very much.
Did you officiate it? Did you film it? What did you?
I officiated the wedding because I am actually ordained as from the. I guess I thought the picture was in here, but it's not in here. So I need to add it real quick. I'm actually ordained through the Church of Lebowski. The Church of Latter-day Dudes is the actual name of the church. The name of the church is the Church of Latter-day Dudes. I am what they call a dudist priest, and
certain shit has come to light, man.
Yeah, I am what they call a dudist priest, and I officiated the wedding.
Did you hold the ceremonial wine and be like, "I got a beverage here, man"?
No, I as you can see in the picture.
Oh, there you are.
I had a White Russian.
Oh, yes.
And I got a Jeff Bridges thing to tell you after we're done with all this, but it's a great story about Jeff Bridges. So yeah, so I wore my outfit. I was dressed as the dude.
You look amazing.
And I performed the ceremony. Yeah, and I have this outfit now that I can go out and do other ceremonies with. So
I was very happy
with it. I had other glasses, but then the radio station that's there that I love, 97.1 The Freak, was there. This is the cake right here. This is Sweetheart. Ooh. was the baker that made the cake.
You're making me hungry.
It was good cake. It was like a chocolate raspberry cake. Here's what it looked like before Sweetheart made that. Right there. There were flowers. It was beautiful. Everybody was there. It was just a wonderful time. Look, this background right here, this is the beer garden. It's just a beautiful place. Yes, it's a nice big place. The radio was there doing a remote, and so they got interviewed before their wedding, and it was just a really good time. There's a T-Mobile commercial going on in the background, as you can see there. And, it was just a really, really good time. But there were a lot of people that helped Jason out with the wedding, and I just wanted to give them a shout-out real quick. So I will be doing that right now. Let me get to the other two, because one of them is actually a sponsor on the show. Sweetheart Bakery, which I mentioned, which is located in beautiful historic McKinney Flour Mill. Sweetheart Bakery owner Udell Panja puts out custom cakes for all your special events at Sweetheart Bakery. They specialize in designing award-winning wedding cakes and fabulous party cakes. Let your imagination run wild and allow them to create a cake with not only taste delicious, but will also leave your guests talking about it. Sweetheart Bakery was also featured in D Magazine Wedding Cakes, and you can order your special event cake today just by calling 469-563-9471. And Sweetheart Bakery is the premier bakery for all your special event needs. And the flowers were made by Lizzie B's Flower Shop, located in Richardson. Lizzie B's Flower Shop. What?
I thought you were about to quote my favorite movie.
What was it?
The way you said it was perfect. You were like, And the flowers are still standing.
And the flowers are still standing. Yes, that's great. You know, yes. Located in Richardson, Lizzie B's Flower Shop is also featured in D Magazine Weddings and is the preferred vendor of Brides of North Texas. Their flower shop offers special arrangements for all occasions and seasons, from weddings to personal to corporate events. They can put a custom arrangement together that would impress your guests. Lizzie B's also offers workshop classes to help you create your own floral masterpieces. They also have a retail shop where they can sell crafts and goods that are handmade and by smaller local businesses from the surrounding area. For all your floral needs, let Lizzie B take care of you today. Call 972-495-7969.
I get two free cakes for being on this podcast, right?
Yeah, they're right. I'll have you reach out to them. Be like, I was on the podcast.
I was on the podcast. I want a peanut butter cake right now.
But my favorite of these people, they arrived in a limo. That was provided by McKinney Black Car, which is a sponsor of this, one of our many sucky sponsors of this sucky broadcast. Ride in style with McKinney Black Car, a family-owned business based in McKinney, Frisco, and Arlington. That's where the studio is right now. Where I'm at right now is Arlington. Offering luxury transportation services for events, concerts, and airport trips in the DFW area. Options include Black Car, party buses, stretch limousines, and much more. Reach out to Nathan. Good old Nathan. The owner to book McKinney Black Car, 469-469-5452. They also have a 5-star Google rating. Hey, and when people who listen to this sucky broadcast reach out to Nathan at 469-469-5452 and you mention sucky, you get $50 off your hourly booking. Boom! That's
kaboom. Why I like
these sponsors. These sponsors hook people up, my friend.
I know.
They hook people up.
And it doesn't surprise me. It does not surprise me. It's the sucky podcast. Can I just say you, Brad?
Oh, but again, congratulations to Jason and Liliani. I was trying to, I couldn't pronounce her name earlier. Her name was very tricky to pronounce, but I remembered it. So I want to say congratulations, Zoe. And congratulations on your wedding by me, Jason and Liliani. Yes, now go ahead, Dennis. I apologize.
No, please. I interrupted you, and that was extremely rude. And if you want to kick me off the show, if you want to ban me from the show,
always,
I understand.
Always, but not right now.
Okay. I'll be ready. I'll be ready for when that happens. I'll be prepared. You, Brad, are a true Renaissance man. And I mean that sincerely. Like, listen to this. I met Brad. He was a stand-up comic, and he was a talk show host. And as I've known you for the past...
Live streamer. Oh, you didn't meet me when I was a live streamer.
See?
Yeah.
I've known you for 7-ish years, I'd say. And I know that before that, you ran a children's theater company.
Yes, I did.
You also were a feature film director of the movie that I'm in with you. You're a streamer. You ran for mayor of Chicago?
Yes, I did.
Like... And you were going to open a club?
Still am. At some point, I still am. Yeah,
that is like the definition of a true... Like, it would not surprise me if you said, I'm going to build a yogurt stand on top of Mount Everest, and it's going to happen. And it's going to be a big B on top.
And I think it'd be really easy, because if you think about it, you wouldn't have to pay to keep things cold. And you wouldn't really need, like... important directions, because when stuff's up on Mount Everest, they literally say, like, go past the frozen guy in the yellow jacket. Like, they use like dead bodies as like markers, because they can't bring these people down, except when it got really hot and they were like, oh, it's starting to defrost up here and all these bodies are starting to become unfrozen. That's not good. Anyways, I was talking about Mount Everest earlier this week, and then you brought that up, and I was like, man, I feel that I'm like an aficionado on Mount Everest and the directorial system, where they're like, you need to take a left at Skis Up in the Air Guy and then go down about 3 blocks. And then there's a members only jacket and then trick a right.
but you'd make it work. You'd be a marketing wizard. I know you'd make it work. So, Brad, we've got.
What would you call it? What would you call? I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep it over you, but I'm intrigued by this. Yo, what would you call the frozen yogurt stand on top of Mount Everest?
Custard's cost friendly cavalcade. You see, I don't do this.
So what was the other thing you were going to talk about? You can go ahead to the next.
I'm very excited for the picture, the motion picture, Bradman, the movie. This has been a labor of love for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I had a great time working on the movie. I'm very excited to see it. There's not a lot of those movies today that are comedy, sci-fi movies.
Right. I mean, I agree with you. Like Blank Man, Mystery Men.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the type of movies I was looking at. Superman 3.
My Stepmother is an Alien. Mom and Dad Save the World. They were just
Mom and Dad Save the World is good.
Yeah. Love it.
Stay Tuned.
Yes, Stay Tuned. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's a genre that I was so happy to be in, and a movie I was happy to be in. So we all know it's going to be number one. It's going to beat Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. We just know that going in. Yeah. Here is my idea, and I'm half serious about this. Okay.
Okay. Let me hear.
You and me, we go to Comic-Con. We wear suits. I dye my hair red. And we cosplay as Conan O'Brien and Andy Richter. Ow! Keep cool, my babies. Take it away, Andy.
No. Oh, so then I had to, I'm forced to laugh at your jokes like Andy Richter would.
Exactly. That's how I finally get you to laugh at my jokes, Brad.
Yeah,
No. But I was watching old Conan clips, and remember when they used to do In the Year 2000, that bit?
In the year 2000.
But
yes,
Andy, he's like, Conan was like, we're going to look all the way into the future, into the year 2000. And Andy walked in and he goes, the future, Conan? And he's wearing that spacesuit. I'm like, oh my God, it's almost like Bradman.
Yeah.
From the movie, because he's wearing like a kind of a superhero costume. So I was like, ooh, epiphany. So I don't know how much leverage we'd get with it. I don't know if there's mass thirst for a Conan and Andy cosplayers. I don't know how much leverage you could get out of that, but I just, that's just me thinking out loud on the air.
I used to do on my show, on my public access show way back in the day, I used to have Byron, who was the gay monkey. And the joke was that it was just Byron and he was a gay monkey. He didn't really like do anything gay or anything. I was inclusive before people were inclusive. That's the deal, right?
Yeah. So
I'm like, this is Byron and he's a gay monkey puppet and whatever. And there was another guy that had started on local news as the sports thing. And that monkey's name was Bing Bing a Bobo. And I would always make fun of Bing Bing a Bobo because Bing Bing a Bobo would always be like, claiming that I was ripping off Bing Bing a Bobo because I had a full size monkey puppet and Bing Bing a Bobo was like a little version of the same monkey. So we looked the same and he's like, are you trying to rip me off? Are you trying to whatever? and every time I would have Bing Bing a Bobo on the show, cause he'd come on all the time. I'd be like, we're just trying to sound like Triumph the Insult Dog. Right. Because that's all he did, because he was ripping off Triumph the Insult Dog, and that was his thing. And I was just trying to be my whole little thing, where I would just send out Byron the Gay Monkey, spelled big B, little R, capital Y, little O, uppercase N, the artistic way. And I would just send him out to like art club events and like music festivals, and I would just let him walk around to the vendors and make innuendo. I say that I led somebody else, but it was me running the puppet. And it was like, it'd be me going like, oh, is this a dinosaur? Is this a Lickalotopus? My favorite dinosaur is the Megasaurus. But, it was all the stuff that was very common in Family Guy before Family Guy stopped making those jokes. And then they went back to making those jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's true.
But yeah, that's
you're very good with those. I think I saw some of your old footage when I came to do the movie. You did a lot of on the street stuff, didn't you?
Back in we did a lot of on the street stuff. We did a lot of like, we would go around to like one of the biggest problems I had with public access in a college town of Iowa City, Iowa, mm-hmm. was when people realized I could chug really fast, then I could chug beer faster than anybody else. And so people would actively find me at bars, which I never had to pay to get into a bar, which was always great. I liked being a public access celebrity in Iowa City, Iowa, but I would always get into these bars and people, I never paid for drinks because everybody would be like, here, chug this beer. I'll race you. And then I'd beat them and they'd be like, no, I was going too fast. Let's try again. And then I'd get like three free beers out of the deal. I never got to enjoy them because I just like whatever. And there's one time, and I posted this one day, and it was me against this guy, and we recorded it. But on the show, I took myself and put myself next to the video of the same. I put the video next to the video, slowed down the second video. And I was like, look, my normal speed guy and my slow motion version of me beats the guy before he finishes at regular speed. Like, so I was like, it was like fun. And then one day I was back home in my very, very, very small town of Mount Pleasant, Iowa. And this girl had seen me on TV and she challenged me to a chugging contest. Her name was Angel. She was a giant brick house of a woman and can't make too much fun of her. I think her dad was the cop of some town or whatever. And Angel was like, hey, I heard you. I'm not bitter or anything. I'm just really, whenever I tell this story, I just make Angel the most horrible person in the world because Angel beat me. Like it was the moment where like, I was just like, I put the beer up to my mouth and she was already done. And I was just like, I just got dethroned by a woman. But you know what? It was the 2000s and that's bound to happen. No, it was not. It was the 2000s. It's 2000s and whatever that happens.
Did you two get romantically involved?
No.
Okay.
No. That was a hill I was not going to climb.
You're making literally. It sound like that.
No, I hate her.
Oh my gosh. You're just making it sound like that scene from the Jerk where that the woman is the aggressor and Steve Martin is in his trailer. She's like, all right, we're dating now. Let's do this.
Oh, you know, it was more of like I left and I said, all I need is my empty beer bottle and this pool
stick.
That's it.
That's all.
That's all I need. Oh. No, it was how dare you, sir? No, I'm sorry. Now you got me thinking about the Jerk. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. Now,
classic.
Now I'm thinking about the Jerk, and it's just all just inappropriate jokes.
There's nothing problematic about the Jerk. What are you talking about?
I love it. I love watching the Jerk on TV because he names the dog Asshole. And so the entire time, I almost love watching the Jerk on edited cable TV as much as I love watching. Is it Asshole? Is it Shithead?
It's Shithead.
And then on some TV they say Asshole. They edited Asshole. And on other TV, they just edited it out completely. It is Shithead. They edited it to Asshole. I think it's funny because much like when I listen to 90s music on like Sirius XM, which is supposed to be satellite radio, and they edit the hell out of Eminem to the point where it's not even, it's like, this look, I mean, oh, and, oh, and I'm done. It's like that. It's a very short, they take like a 4-minute Eminem song and it ends up being 2 minutes long and you can't even hear half of it. It's just very fascinating to me. It's also very fascinating to me how they've edited songs and you just, they act like you're not supposed to notice now. But right. I'm old enough to be like when Dire Straits comes on for Money for Nothing, and I'm singing for Money for Nothing, and I'm like, that little with the, and they cut that, they cut it. It's not even there anymore. That right, that line right. isn't even in the song anymore. They've just cut out that entire segment of the song, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, am I in a, is this a Mandela effect thing where I'm in a different place where,
yeah,
you know, like I was talking to my mother the other day about, because once in a while my mom will say something, I'll be like, Mom, I need you to understand, like, I'm not your son. I'm a different universe son. Mm-hmm. And at some point I landed in this universe. And I just want you to know that, because I think what stirred it up was when Tina Turner died again in this universe.
Oh.
And I was like, Tina Turner died? It was like when Aretha Franklin died. And I was like, I thought Aretha Franklin had already been dead. A lot of that stuff, you know. And like the Dennis Hurley in my universe, hilarious.
You laugh at all his
improvisations. Yes. What was the Bradley like here in this universe for me before I showed up?
Well, he was a little person.
Speaking of which, I think I talked about this last week on my show. By the way, I had Angel Trigar on. You know her. She's in the movie too.
The co-star.
And we were. I want you to watch the movie Tiptoes. Free on Amazon.
Yeah. Gary Oldman as a little person. I've seen the trailer. Yeah. I haven't seen the movie.
No. Okay. Yeah, because that was a big talking thing, and then this radio station in town got everybody to watch it. And I was like, oh, and it was actually, I liked it. It ends weird. It's a very weird ending movie. Mm-hmm. And apparently Peter Dinklage swears there's a 2.5-hour movie that's like the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. And that this movie's crap because the producers got mad. You know, much like Richard Donner, Superman 2.
Yes. Yes.
Like, have you seen the edited, the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2?
Yes.
Beautiful. Right?
Amazing.
And if you watch, I'm not spoiling anything. All right. So in Superman Returns with Brandon Routh, Lois has a kid and it ends up being Superman's kid. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw. Did you ever see Superman Returns?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay. Well, don't hate on it. Brandon's a good guy. He's from Iowa.
I thought he was great. I did not like the script or some of the other casting.
Okay, but if you watch the Donner cut of Superman 2, mm-hmm. the script lines up perfectly with that.
Oh,
He says things like the father becomes the son and the son becomes, he says that. He has sex with Lois before he takes his powers away. In Superman, in the Richard Donner cut, he doesn't do the red light thing until after they have sex.
Oh,
so
right.
That would be why she has the powers and whatever. There's none of that stupid cellophane S stuff going around. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's not in that version. But going back to Peter Dinklage, have you seen The Station Agent?
No.
The movie he did, the serious movie he did, his kind of his breakout role in 2003.
No, I haven't.
Oh, then I'm really, really glad I brought this up because now it's going to go nowhere. But no, anyway, that was his first leading role, and it was about him as a little as himself, living in a town and dealing with people's initial shock at seeing him, and it's really good. The director did he did Win-Win. Bunch of other good movies, but that's what I want you to do next. That's what I'm saying, Brad. I want you to direct a serious, like gritty, sad indie movie, but instead of a little person, it's hello, an albino. That's never been done.
Okay,
and I just play like a version of myself. That's kind of what Peter Dinklage was, just like a regular guy. And I'm just saying, I think it could go somewhere.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Maybe I'm like a gas station attendant in a town and, you know, the greasers and the socias come and find me and they want to Rumble with me, and I'm writing this as I speak, so I don't have a solid idea yet. I'm just saying, you know, like a Duplass Brothers kind of sad, heartwarming movie where people learn, like, oh, he's not just a dead person. He's not a White Walker. He's not Casper. He's just like us.
What if the movie was
okay?
Okay. On the day you're born, your mother gets struck by lightning.
Okay. All right. See, now we're running into a bunch of problematic things.
Why?
The director of that movie. Yeah, I don't want to.
Who directed that movie?
The director of Jeepers Creepers directed Powder. And he's a famous child.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
But so I can't like Powder now? Because no, I the guess guy was not. A, yeah. Oh. And isn't that, what's his face is Powder? Isn't that?
Sean Patrick Flannery.
Oh, why didn't
Young Indiana Billy... Jones.
Oh, you know why that was Billy Crudup? Because Billy Crudup is Mr. Manhattan in... That was the other movie with the hairless, naked guy with a penis. That was...
now you're
he
just,
was blue, you're, though.
You're just perpetuating the problematic albino stereotypes. We're either the magical creature or we're...
No, Mr. Dr. Manhattan was blue. Dr. Manhattan was blue. He was a
blue, I could be blue.
Blue bino.
I'm wearing a blue shirt. Look at me.
Blue rhino.
Blue rhino. But now I kind of want to see Powder with Billy Crudup. I think that's a better casting choice.
I don't know why in my brain I thought it was Billy Crudup.
No,
but
that sounds... I mean...
Yeah. Wait, so so who was Mask?
Now you're comparing me to Mask?
That's Come Eric on, Stoltz. That's Eric Stoltz. Okay.
And that's the one Cher was in it. She won the
Cher's
won,
in that one.
She won the Oscar for Moonstruck. But...
Do you believe I had a baby with a lion face?
What is this? The side of a house?
That's Family Guy Family is so Guy, horrible. Man. Family yeah. Guy is so horrible. He can act like he's all like great and woke and all this stuff. But just watch Family Guy. He tries really hard on Twitter to act like he's not, but he is. Anyways, right. So that's great. That's hey Rocky, what a rotten name. They Rocky. Named him Rocky, yeah. And his face was Rocky in the movie.
I know.
It's like Dennis is like, I don't want to go down this.
No, I was just thinking. You're right. It's like they named. You know, Mufasa, and they named his brother Scar. Like, was that his given name?
Yeah. Now he got a scar, so now it works out. Maybe his name was Edgar before that. And then they're like, okay, Mufasa and Scarillion. like he had some really cool Mufasa sounding name. And then he got a scar, and they're like, oh, you know what? Scar sounds better.
Yeah, Scar. I'm sure with a name like Scar, he won't grow up to have any problems.
Oh, you two boys are going to get all the women in this pride. No problem at all. They're not going to. Meanwhile, Scar's like, I don't want any of the women in this pride.
Yeah.
No, there was a big discussion. There was a discussion on the radio about that Scar was gay because Jeremy Irons said Scar was gay. Yeah. And I'm like, well, okay, but still, the entire plot of the second movie is that there's a Scar baby.
Oh, I never saw the second movie.
It was also very weird when they're in the cave and he's got the mounds of sugar from the jungle and he shoves his nose in there and then he comes out and he starts throwing hyenas and he's like, say hello to my little friends.
Oh, cockroach.
That's my favorite part of Scar.
They were twins, right?
That's a good question.
Because they could have been like the Arnold Schwarzenegger and the leftover crap Danny DeVito type twins.
No, because
it was an experiment in Pride Rock.
No, because he was Phil in Hercules. So in reality, maybe it was that Mufasa was a twin, but his twin was Phil the goat from
Plus, I don't think they had the technology. Like, what was the plot of that Ivan Reitman Twins movie? Was that they found all the Adonis men,
and yeah,
they got all their sperm together and made a big milkshake and put it inside this Mary Benedict or whatever, and then
yeah,
they didn't count on she had the twins gene, so Danny DeVito ended up being the leftover crap.
Yeah.
So, but they didn't have that kind of technology at Pride Rock, I don't think.
Yeah. It's a circle. It's a big jug of Adonis sperm. Isn't that what a lion pride is? Just a bunch of lions mixing their sperm together into a lioness and, you know, winner take all. So that's pretty much what a pride is.
I do. I just not where I thought this podcast was going.
You brought it up, and I've got to say that's what I believe. That's what I believe it is. I could perform one of those weddings too. That'd be a good time. This White Russian tastes funny, and they'd be like, "That's Adonis stuff." Ah. I just made that joke. Okay. Now you got to put an explicit rating on this thing.
No.
I got one more sponsor and then we can chat some more. I got one more sponsor. I got to tell you about Quilting Cat Crafts in the DFW based fabric warehouse, an online store specializing in boundless quilting fabric. They carry new 100% cotton fabric, most priced at $5 per yard. And, when you start a new craft, you usually have enough of the materials that you need to make each project. Quilting and sewing are the same. Each time you want to make a new project or something for class or whatever, you have to make a trip to the fabric store to get extra fabric. Where most people who have been quilting for a while have a stash of fabrics. It's harder for those who are just starting out and on a budget. And that's when Liz, one of the owners of Quilting Cat, discovered Boundless at its low price point. It's affordable and can help anybody fit in and sew with the big girls without having to run to the store for each little blanket they want to make. And Liz is fascinating. She suffered from depression and anxiety her whole life, even with medications and great doctors and therapists. It's a disease that has a stigma that needs to be brought into light. In 2019, after a series of events and failing medications, she's stuck in a very low, depressed place, and that's when she discovered quilting. And quilting kept Liz out of the hospital and alive during that time. And Boundless Fabrics is what allowed her to do that because it was affordable. So she wanted to make it available and affordable to other people. Call it Quilting Pay It Forward, and you can check it out. You can order online at quiltingcat.com, or if you're local to DFW and you want to pick up the order and save on shipping, that's fine too. And then one weekend every quarter, there's an open house sale where the public is welcome to shop on site. If you want to learn more, find them online. You can go to their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/quiltingcatcrafts. They also have a Facebook group called Quilting Cat and Catnip where people share projects that they're working on and ask questions and all that good stuff. So check them out. Why am I having a moment with this? I just literally said the website right here.
You also forgot the www before.
I don't Facebook.com. Say www in front of the other stuff, okay? Anyways, if you order online at quiltingcat.com, use the coupon code podcast and get 10% off your non-fabric sales. And listen, people, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, you know what? I can't sew a lick. But my brother or sister or mother or grandmother or Aunt Verda or whoever who likes to do quilting, they do it. Get them the link. Buy them the quilting material. Buy them the fabric and say, make me a quilt. Go to quiltingcat.com. Use the coupon code podcast. Get 10% off your non-fabric sale. It's that easy.
Here's your gift. Now make me something.
Yeah, make me something. That's what I said. I said, if my Aunt Verda was still alive, my Aunt Verda used to go to rummage sales and fabric, like the clothing places where they have clothes for like a penny or a nickel or whatever. She used to go buy material and just make quilts out of it.
That's like my younger brother and I, one Christmas, we bought our dad a snowblower for his driveway. It, you know, And it was like, it was his gift, but it was sort of a present for us. So we didn't have to shovel the old fashioned way. So it was kind of a selfish, half selfish gift.
So your gift to your dad was lazy kids.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Hey dad, look, for Christmas this year, we want to show you that we have no work ethic.
Yeah. And you know, you get to do the work now instead of us.
He's just sitting there drinking his coffee going, that's my boys.
Well, the laziest boys this side of the Mississippi.
Those Hurley boys. at least one of, I can't believe I was going to pass off my t-shirt company to them.
T-shirt company. It's a surfboard company. A
surfboard company that makes t-shirts. That's what it is. I couldn't remember. Because I grew up landlocked, dude. I was in the middle. So I saw Hurley. I just thought it was a t-shirt brand. I didn't realize it was like.
The name of the t-shirt. It's like the t-shirt brand.
Well, yeah.
Is like, Hurley?
You know, like Nike shirts.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Like Nike shirts. Adidas is a good brand of t-shirts.
Coca-Cola.
Big Dog. Remember Big Dog? No. Get off the porch with the big dogs. Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is a great shirt. Coca-Cola should branch off into other things, but they make really comfortable t-shirts. I own a Coca-Cola t-shirt.
You do?
Yeah.
Didn't someone wear them in that movie Mac and Me? Didn't they all wear like Coke brand shirts? Because that was the sponsor.
I've never seen that movie.
In my life. Oh my gosh.
Except when Paul Rudd shows it.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's very sad is I've actually seen that more than I've seen E.T.
Why would you think that was sad?
Well, because it's like, we're talking about Coke. It's like E.T. is Coke and then Mac and Me is Pepsi.
Okay, so
If you don't like Pepsi.
I'm going to ask you something.
Yeah.
Because I found this on, and it's on YouTube, and you just watch the whole thing on YouTube, and I made my nephew watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Where do you sit with Space Invaders?
Wow. Talk about your deep cuts from 1990.
I don't think that's, do you feel like that's a deep cut?
Oh, I do. I do. I never saw it. But I do remember watching the TV ads. And then my friend came over who had seen the movie, watched the TV ads. And he was like, that's not in the movie. Some company that's making these TV ads are just adding these voices of the aliens with like funny dialogue that they think's funny. So we're like, wow, okay, we see how the sauce is made.
What are you talking about? That's no, it's all in there. Great. There goes my insurance. Cause there's that Jack Nicholson sounding one that's like the captain of the Space Invaders, and there's a robot, and then I forget who the guy is. He's an actor. There's a guy that is like a nerd, and they jab a thing into him and make him into a super robot.
I haven't seen that movie. I have seen Strange Invaders. You ever seen that with Nancy Allen?
No.
1983.
Okay. Is that where they're trying to have sex with people?
No. It's actually
some
kind of like
strange,
a little bit like V, the original miniseries, where the aliens wear skin masks over their alien faces and.
What? You spoiled that for me. I'm just watching that on Netflix.
It's not on Netflix.
No.
It's at best, it's on Tubi.
I remember V because I remember watching it when it was a TV movie or whatever. And then they tried to bring it back and I was like, whatever. And then and then they did this show called, this movie called Species, and I was like, isn't that just V? Isn't that just
Species?
V?
I like Species.
Yeah, I like Species too because it's a naked hot girl trying to have sex with people.
But also a great ensemble cast. It was like Ben Kingsley was the scientist, and then you got Alfred Molina and Michael Madsen was the heavy.
Didn't notice any of that stuff because La Femme Nikita girl was the naked girl in the movie.
You were focused on Natasha Henstridge. It wasn't Natasha Kinski. It's Natasha Henstridge.
Well, I thought it was La Femme Nikita. That was the same girl.
Was it? I thought that was Natasha Kinski from Terminal Velocity with Charlie Sheen.
Terminal Velocity with Charlie Sheen. I just said that like I knew what that movie was. I don't know what that movie is. How about, you know, and welcome to the segment of the show where Dennis and I say deep cut movies to each other. License to Kill.
Oh, try that one on.
Did you see that movie? I think this is a James Bond movie with the same name.
No.
The movie with the senior trip and the
Richard Grieco. Yeah.
Yes. Richard Grieco.
Yes, I did see that movie. I might have seen half of it and then I got bored and walked away.
I based my entire senior project and I made a parody of it for my senior project for Spanish class.
License to Kill. Oh wow.
License to Kill.
What about License to Drive? The Corys.
Oh, no, I'm not interested in the Corys.
No. Okay.
Who was the other girl in that? It wasn't Alicia Silverstone. It was somebody, because she wasn't old enough then yet. So.
No.
Okay. Do you have another one for me or do I have another one for you? Spirit of 76.
Ooh.
I recommend, if you guys are listening to this, because next week is 4th of July, we're still going to have a show on Wednesday. But on Tuesday night, watch the movie Spirit of 76. It's like
I've never seen it.
Okay. It is what's the guy from Partridge Family?
Mark.
No, the brother from
Bonaducci?
Yeah, not Danny Bonaducci, the other one. The guy that the boy
David
singer.
Cassidy.
David Cassidy, Olivia Diabo, and this other guy. Mel Brooks, I'm sorry.
Carl Reiner
is the oldest man in the world. He dies, and the world has faced a giant electrical storm and lost all of their government, and the world's falling apart. And he's like, you need to go back to 1776, and you need to get the Constitution, and you need to bring it back, and we need to change the world for the better. And so these time travelers go back in time, in this time machine that's powered by tetrahydrozoline, which is very rare in the future. And they go back in time and there's a glitch and they end up going back to 1776.
How have I not seen this movie?
It's the greatest movie in the world.
Tommy Chong is in it.
Tommy Chong's in it. Julie Brown's in it. Moon Zappa's in it. It's such a good movie. It's such a good movie. The guy that plays Heinz 57, I know he's a famous actor now, and I just can't think of what he is in it. But they all have like names, like their names are all like food names or whatever. Like Heinz 57, it's great. Oh. But they end up like getting the Constitution on a T-shirt. It's just like it's just good stuff. You should go Spirit of 76. You should find it. I wonder if it's available online. Because I'm gonna tell people they need to watch it. Spirit of 76. It is literally like the Bill and Ted Spirit of 76 movie. That's what I gotta type in. Spirit of 76 movie.
It's added to the watch list, but it looks like it's only available. Prime Video. I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Oh my gosh, it's such a good movie. Yeah. Chevron 17. That's one of the guys. Yale 44.
Wow.
Adam 11. Chanel number 6. That's Olivia Diabo's character. Man, it's such a good. Oh, yeah. That's right. Devo's in it as like people, but they're Devo. But it's like they're like the council of whatever in this time travel thing, but they're really Devo. But they're playing other characters, but it's Devo. Because everybody's dressed like Devo in the future. That was another thing about it. Spirit of 76, dude. Great movie. I'm trying to figure out
it takes place in 2176 and 1976. Oh my God.
Right. Because they go back thinking they're going to 1776.
Yeah.
And it's just great. There's a great scene with Julie Brown, and she's dressed like Statue of Liberty, and she's in a peep show. And he just keeps giving her money to like explain how the, you know, but she's really smart and she's actually like a lawyer or something like that, that's stripping on the side, and then she's telling about a bunch of stuff. But it's just so good. And they're eating snowballs. That's the other thing I like, is that they think snowballs like this like super treat in the past or whatever. Good stuff. Good things. It is very good. It's very good. And it is very much like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yes. It's like the poor man's Bill and Ted. But I recommend it. Please watch it. I'm probably going to clip this segment and tell people to watch it. I'm probably going to make this into a clip and be like, watch it.
It's on my list. So I'm going to watch it.
All right. Well, that's good. And you tell. Yeah. I want you to tell me what you thought about it.
Okay.
Spirit that Tiptoes.
And Tiptoes, right.
And Tiptoes.
Cool.
And rideshare. somebody was like, do you know any, does anybody have any new recommendations for bad movies on the Tiptoes then? And I go, well, there's this movie called Rideshare. But every time I show somebody Rideshare, I'm thinking it's like, ah, it's okay. People are like, that was a really good movie. And I have people that come up to me, even in Texas, and they're like, I thought you looked familiar. I saw you in this movie, Rideshare the movie.
Rideshare.
Right.
That has a lot of good scenes in it. I remember.
Yeah.
I saw it in the theater.
By the way, everybody, you can watch it online on YouTube. It's free. Rideshare the movie. You should go watch that too.
Yeah.
You did see it in the theater.
I did.
I invited you, right? You were my guest.
You did, yeah.
My cousin got drunk and left.
Oh,
early. I was like, where'd he go?
No, that was anyway. A swanky party. They had a couple.
It was a good party.
Yeah, fun.
I had a really good time. I actually had to get a hotel room for that.
Oh yeah.
So I could stay around afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, memories, memories,
memory lane. Yep.
Yep. I don't think. Are we done? I think we're done. I think we're done. Dennis, I appreciate you coming on. I always appreciate you coming on. You're one of my favorite people to have on the show. When you're on the show, you're one of my favorite people to have in my apartment, just hanging out and drinking Trulies and all that other good stuff. Where can people find you, Dennis?
Well, my main website is dennis-hurley.com, otherwise known as dennis-hurley.com. I'm on Instagram as Dendo Hurley. Dendo is the one and only nickname someone's ever given me, because my friend and I played Nintendo in college, and he just goes like, "You want to play GoldenEye Nintendo?" And then it just got shortened to Dendo. In case anybody wanted to know the origin of the name, which nobody did, so I'm.
You know what? You know what? Now I'm like, oh, that's the origin of the name. I thought it was something cool.
How about we do the outtakes of the improv takes I wanted to do as Victor Nordic, where I desperately spent all day trying to make you laugh and I could not make you laugh.
I don't laugh. I'm not, nothing makes me laugh. I'm a very, very hard, bitter old man.
No, wait, you laughed once. You said you laughed when you came to see me in my disastrous America's Got Talent audition that never aired.
Yeah, why are we talking about that? Why are we ending this show when you should talk about when you were on America's Got Talent?
Because I wasn't. There was a TV spot of me as Herb Marple throwing up. But you were there. You sat through the whole show, I think.
That's where I learned a lot of it was like, They asked these people to come on because Howie had a friend. Like Howie's like, and I had done, Alex Mandel had done Periscope, so I knew Alex from like Periscope. And so he was like, yeah, my son Alex likes you, the guy who like dove into a bed full of glass or whatever. And I was just like, oh, he already knows him.
Right.
You know, so these people are just, they're out picking people. Yeah, and meanwhile, Dennis can't throw up. It was a very good time.
I threw up orange juice on the stage, and then Heidi Klum and Scary Spice were disgusted. And then I think Simon was just like, don't feel bad for him. He's doing a bit. He was not having my gimmick. But then I tried to wipe it up, and they were telling me to get off the stage, and you said you laughed at the fact that I went over to pick up the rag. And they're just like, no, get off the stage. We don't even care.
That's right. Yeah, I laughed at your discomfort. I was like, I laughed at the awkwardness. I love awkwardness. That's great.
I will say, you know, as you said, it's all staged. It's all, you know, pre-planned pretty much,
yeah.
Even though they try to make it sound spontaneous. But I was clearly a whammy, as I say. I was like a wild card. They wanted to annoy the judges.
Yeah.
But I just, the visceral response of being booed by that many people, that was like, I could feel that in my bones. There was just how many thousands of people, like, no matter if I knew I was designed to be a bad act, and I knew that, but like somewhere in my subconscious, like just being booed by that many people, I mean, it shook me to my core.
But then we went and had Yard House nachos, pokey nachos.
Again, the Bradley Laborman memory.
Yeah, I remember food. Everything's always based around food. I like Yard House. I like the Yard House.
The Yard House rocks.
I also just got a notification that Pete Davidson has entered rehab for mental health.
Hmm.
His penis will remain out in the public for women to still date.
It will be available.
Yeah.
At the Lord and Taylor.
His penis is like, what are you doing, man? Don't take me in here with you. I've got a good thing going.
I was just going to get back together with Kim.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so weird. All that stuff is just so weird. Yep. And him in general. But he gives me hope. He gives me hope. He gives me a lot of hope. He gives me a lot of hope. All right, buddy. All right, here we go. Thank you for being on the show. I really enjoyed having you on the show. I always enjoy having you on the show.
Yeah, me because, too. I love it.
It's good times. We get to talk about things. You get to try to make me laugh. You fail, but it's okay.
You should seriously go.
Dennis Hurley is one of the funniest people I know, even though I never reflect that when I'm hanging out with him. But he is one of the funniest people I know. Please check him out on his Twitter. It's Dendo. On his Instagram, Dendo Hurley.
And coming soon in Bradman the Movie.
Bradman the Movie. Go check out his OnlyFans. Check out his... Check out... I forgot to mention I started an OnlyFans. I'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
That's a teaser. There's a Bradman TV OnlyFans. If you go find it, whatever, go find it. That's it. That's really it. Dennis, thank you for being on the show. And everybody, please have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. If you're listening to this, that means that it's before 4th of July has been going on. And I hope you have a really good weekend. I hope you have a really good extended weekend. I don't know how the weekend works this weekend with the holidays and all that good stuff. But I love you guys. Be safe. Be wonderful. And just really live life to the fullest. That's what I'm asking you to do. Live life to the fullest and have fun.
You've been listening to This Sucky Broadcast. Learn more at thissuckybroadcast.com.